Edom chapter 16. Samuel finishes his address to the people, and some believe. And when they believe, then they go to Nephi to be baptized. But it says they go to him repenting and confessing. Again, the seeing of the wonders did not change them. All it did was motivate them to repent. And so they began to want to confess their sins and repent. What they more needed to repent of and so forth was clear unto them, because they had been taught the gospel. And then it says that the others were angry, and they tried to kill Samuel, and the Lord protects him. And when many see that he's protected, many more decide that they need to repent, and they go to Nephi repenting and confessing. When it says that Nephi at this time was showing many signs and wonders and miracles to testify of the coming of Christ, meaning to give them motivation, or meaning to testify of Christ, which gives them a motivation to come unto Christ. And this again tells us that this is a type that, as we prepare for Christ to come the second time, there will be many signs and wonders before that. And again, if we studied any kind of a record, we could see that that time is drawing near. And how long, if we decide how far before the coming of Christ, or when Christ didn't just come into the world, but when he came to see the Nephites, you can see we're still 38 years before that time. Well, we know that we're not 38 years before the second coming of Christ. And we know this not only because of studying the times that the Lord has laid out for doing his work on the earth, but more because we can see that the people, or the church that has been given the clear knowledge of him in the Book of Mormon, has gone astray from following Jesus Christ. And so it is indeed prepared, just like it is here in the time of the first coming, meaning that the main church of their day had been taken over by the Gadianton robbers also, and was leading the people astray, meaning away from Christ and unto man. The point is then that we can expect to soon be seeing these sign and wonders coming unto us, and therefore, what are we to say about now? Right now is a time to get repenting. Well, then it says in verse 6 that the more part do not believe and claim that he has a devil. Now, this is one of the greatest signs of the iniquity of our last day, to know that we are being prepared to reject the prophets that will be brought into the land by the Lord, meaning our leaders have told us over and over, and are preparing us, that if anyone comes in the land prophesying or showing any signs and wonders, that if it is not from the leaders of the church, then you know that it is of the devil. And they are preparing you to say this exact same thing. Why would anyone say that? There is no presence in the Book of Mormon at all that says that that only a given leader of a church or is allowed to do a sign and a wonder. It has made it clear that the Lord will choose any of his servants or followers to do his work. Well, it then says that Samuel returned to his people, and then it repeats the wickedness of the more part of the people. And what is it? Pride. Notice it says pride and wickedness, but it points to pride. The thing that has overcome us today, that is as clear, that doesn't require any more detailed explanation on it. We know it, we feel it, and we see the great pride in the church today. Well, it then says that they will go on in verses 11 through 15, that for 3 more years the people just get harder, and that even though their signs and wonders continue, they get harder, which means they reject, they don't want the Spirit of Christ. Why were they giving these signs and wonders? They weren't giving the signs and wonders and say, hey, follow me, I'm a prophet, or hey, follow me, I'm, because I do these neat signs and wonders. They're saying, turn to Christ. And that's all we're asking for today. Why is it, and so therefore you can see how hard they're getting to say, oh no, we have a good church organization, we follow our leaders and everything like that, but they don't turn to Christ. Why wouldn't they say, we have turned to Christ, and this is what we think of Christ? But no, they don't say that. They say, no, we have turned to our church, we need our church, our leaders are good. They support all these other things, but they do not support Christ and say, yes, I have developed a personal relationship with the Lord, I know that I'm doing what He wants, and so on and so forth. And he speaks to me, I don't care what all the other signs are, they do not want to turn to the Lord, and it says today. Members of the church do not want to turn to Jesus Christ, and they fight it, and they are angry with anyone who tells them to turn to Christ. Well, then in verse 16, it begins to explain how they rationalize all these signs and wonders, and things are going on, and they say, they use the wisdom of man, recall, so they're still turned to man, and they want man to do it. They go to BYU and ask BYU what their professors think of it, and everything like that. They don't turn to the Spirit, they turn to the wisdom of man, and they say, and then it goes through to explain some of their rationales, and it says, for instance, some things they may have guessed right, meaning they see these things, they say, oh, this was just a good guess, or which is, we could make that all the time, because mostly all you're doing in your prophecies is repeating things from the Book of Mormon. I can read the Book of Mormon and pull out all these signs that they had and say, well, they're going to happen again. Of course they're going to happen again. So another thing is say, well, he was just guessing that this was the time in the Book of Mormon. Everybody else has guessed other things. This guy just happens to be the one that was right on. You see, they can rationalize all these things, but again, are they into the Book of Mormon? Are they studying the Book of Mormon and coming forward and saying, yes, I'd like to reveal to you what the meaning of this scripture is? See, there's a difference. But their very context is that men should determine by their own wisdom, not by the Spirit, and not by more intently by the Spirit of revelation of what the scripture is saying or what the scripture is prophesying. Instead, they automatically are telling you that you should do it by the wisdom of man, and that's where their immediate error is. And then they begin to say, well, things are not reasonable. That it's not as they said here, that it's not reasonable that such a being of Christ Christ will come. But what do we hear today? The Lord expects us to do all we can, and then He will help us there from there on. And He wants man to show that he can stand on his own two feet, and we're to do it as if it all depended on us, and then go to the Lord for extra help. It's not reasonable that we should turn our whole lives over to Christ. It's not reasonable that He will direct everything in our life and that He will be our provider and our protector. And they go into these things that are not and say that it's not reasonable. For instance, we have built up a wonderful government, and the government has freedom. Freedom is flourishing, and peace is flourishing throughout the world. Look how wonderful the church is. It's not reasonable that Christ needs to come and reign and take over this world and change it all over. You see, and that's what they say today. But they'll go into all these things that aren't reasonable. And then in verses 18 and 19, it begins to talk about how they'll say, well, He needs to show us. And these people are saying don't go to the church in Jerusalem, come to us. He needs to show Himself to us. Well, what is He saying here? Well, that today in the church He says, no, the leaders of the church must receive this, and it must come from them. And so the Lord must come and show Himself to the leaders of the church or to us at our church. He can't show that to the people of Zion or to someone else that are the true followers of Christ. Why, we're the ones that He has to show them to. And see, we begin to feel this pride. See, that's all it's expressing here, is that there's a pride of the people to say, no, you must show it to us. We're the chosen people. We're the ones you talk to. See, they're saying the same thing here as the church says today, that they are just the chosen people and that the Lord must show themselves to them. And again, why? Why were the basis there? Same basis today, the chosen people. Obviously, again, these people are claiming that they're a good people and that they're the chosen people and that they're the church. And again, is Nephi the leader of the church? No, Nephi left us. He went off to do his missionary work. He went off on his own thing and he left, you see. So they reject it, but they always claim that it was something else. Again, it's like today. Well, no, Ezra Taft Benson is senile. That's because that was the way things were. That's his physical thing. It's not that the Lord took him away from us or that we rejected him. They don't want to think it. They don't think that way, and so they make the same claim of Nephi. It was Nephi that left. We didn't reject him. And then again, in verse 20, it's saying that they'll say that they do not. It's not reasonable that he does not perform the work in the church where they can see them. See, let our church leaders do these works. If they do them, then we will believe. But they don't believe. Your church leaders have all gone astray. They have all said they do no longer follow Jesus Christ. They do not know what it means to have a personal relationship with him. They do not have a personal relationship, and they freely admit that. They have to do things by consensus. They do not do it by the Spirit. And that's why the Lord would be glad to do the miracles by the church leaders if the church leaders would accept him. But they don't. They want the church ran by their way, by the ways of man. And they do not believe in developing a personal relationship with the Lord. Well, then in 21 it says what they will say. And this is, again, we see how perfectly it applies to our day. They will say, when the prophets come into the land, see, they will accuse them of desiring to have authority in the church. I mean, when you read this, you notice it said that many, many things went on that are not recorded here. Many things did Samuel say. Notice he's picking out those things that more directly apply to us. So in verse 21, they say that when the prophets come into the land, and we're talking about in our day, then everyone will look at them and say, oh, they just want to be a general authority. See, they want to be in charge of the church. That's all they're doing this for. That's their game. They want us to follow them. And see, they're just seeking for authority. And why? Because that's how they view it. They view it that they want to have the power and authority over the people, then they naturally assume that's what everybody else wants. And it's not just the leaders, it's the followers, also the members of the church. They're always thinking in authority. They want to be an authority. Well, if I was a general authority, see, then that means I'm a great person. And they're always thinking in terms of position and authority. And so, therefore, that's what they will accuse the true prophets of the Lord of wanting when they come into the land. And then it says that they want to, that then they will they if they if we follow them, they'll take authority over us, and they will keep us in ignorance. Now, how are they keeping us in ignorance? Meaning, what are these people doing, and what are the prophets? They keep turning you to Christ. You see, now we've got a double thing here. See, first of all, when you send someone to Christ, then that means that we haven't got some man giving you information. See, he says, listen, I'm your leader, and I keep giving you information. You go to Christ, and you don't get any information. But, you know, they twist it and say, if you go to this man, then he will not give you information. Why? His information is for you to go to Christ and get your information. But you don't believe in the Spirit. You don't believe you can get information there. But second, when we want to have information about Christ, what is Christ's gospel, how do we serve him, what do we do to learn more about him, they keep you in ignorance. So they're really the ones that believe that, oh, I've got to keep you in ignorance so that you come to me. No, we don't understand Christ. No, we can't have a personal relationship with Christ. No, we can't do anything. You need to come to me so that I can tell you. So they don't tell you those things. But once they reject Christ, they reject the greater principles of the gospel. And that's, in fact, what they are doing right now is rejecting these principles of the gospel, and that's why they are the ones that are keeping you in ignorance, and that's why we're receiving hardly no information from the church about Christ or the gospel today. Well, then it says, how will they fight against these the true followers of Christ? They'll fight against them by gossip and rumor. And it explains here in verse 22 that gossip and rumor, that is contention. And that's what breeds and starts contention. It sets people up against others. Not the open discussion of religion and views and Christ and whatever else. It's not the open discussion of contention. It's the gossip and rumors. And that's what they'll use. And indeed, I testify to you that that is going on today So with great power, and it's what the devil will always use, and it's being done to suppress those who are within the church and around who are the true followers of Christ. And then it just finishes off by saying, yea, they will reject the signs and wonders done by the true followers of Christ. But you can't expect that the true follower of Christ will do these signs and wonders. It is not the administrative or Babylonian structure hierarchy that has the right to do the signs and wonders of Christ. It's his servants, and he will select his servants.